Blog Talk Radio.
Number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lesson. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you felt a shift in the world lately? I know I have felt it. Tell me, can you imagine what it would be like to make some necessary changes in your life and in your financial situation? Have you ever wanted to know what Y2K15 means? I have no idea. Now would you like to learn what happens when the stock market drops 5% in 3 weeks alone? Tell me, have you ever heard of books called Money Ripples and From Rice to Beans? Now would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to act now before it's too late? If you can answer yes, or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I'll be introducing you to my co-host. He is a success coach extraordinaire, and he provides us with information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice about how to handle our money. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated on iHeartRadio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. Our show has now had over 3.4 million listeners to date. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our wonderful guest today. He is the cash flow expert, and he is a leading authority on how to quickly create cash flow and lasting wealth for thousands of his clients, entrepreneurs, and others internationally. He has been featured in U.S. News, CNN, Money, Bankrate.com, and has a reputation for getting his clients life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Welcome back to the show again today, Chris Miles. Hi, Chris. How are you today?
Just fabulous. How are you doing, January?
I'm good. I'm just thinking about how much fun it is to have your money rippling through life.
Oh, and when it ripples and waves and tsunamis, it's even better, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, that's for sure. Now, share a little bit with my listeners, because I've had you on the show so many times, and you are definitely, in my opinion, outside the box. Some of your shows have been just so fabulous. Share a little bit of your background with people who are tuning in for the first time, so they will understand how you became such a wonderful financial advisor.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to shorten and condense it down to nothing, it would basically be, I actually have real life experience with it. You know, I started out being the financial advisor, the traditional one that you would talk to, you know, when you say, hey, I want to retire, what would I do?
Yeah.
But, you know, after doing that for so many years, I did that for 4 years, I realized it just wasn't producing the results for clients that you had hoped it would. There was a lot of overpromising and under-delivering. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very common. In fact, that's been the entire career of financial advisors, really, if you think about it.
Yeah.
And so I went away from that. I went more down the path of where some of my millionaire friends went, where they did the opposite of what financial advisors taught. They weren't trying to save for the long haul. They weren't taking high risks to create high returns. They weren't diversifying. They knew all those things were false. They were going in and saying, no, Absolutely not. We're going to focus and build our businesses. We're going to focus on creating value for people. And in so doing, money is just a natural byproduct. And that's how we'll create more cash flow. And as a result, we make, you know, we actually become financial. And so I did that in 2006. I actually retired when I was 28 years old. I even lost all of it. I became an upside down millionaire and came back from that as well. And, you know, and had to pay off $900,000 of debt in 3.5 years, not to mention get out from a $16,000 a month hole. And so from those experiences that I've had in real life, not to mention things that have actually worked, you know, that actually enabled me to be able to create a whole cash flow process that allows me to help people.
You know, when you're talking about upside down millionaire and people who have recovered from financial disasters, you know who comes to mind right away is Donald Trump, and he has been he's so proud of his billions or millions and billions. Give us your read on what he's been up to lately.
Well, you know, definitely when you look from the finance standpoint, rightfully so, the guy did some good work there. I mean, I talked about coming back from $900,000 in debt. He came back from $900 million in debt.
Unbelievable.
And he actually did it in 3.5 years as well. So it just added three more zeros to get Donald Trump, right, from what I did. You know, only 1,000 times more money. Yeah. With a bunch of zeros, but he did that, and actually broke the Guinness Book of World Records in that quickest turnaround. Because I'll tell you, a lot of people, I love his story, because there's a book called Never Give Up that's a more humble version of what he writes sometimes. And in that book, he talked about where there were people telling him, saying, "Heh, we knew you wouldn't make it. You just inherited a bunch of money from your dad. You're done." And he had to go and rebuild from scratch. And so he came back to be worth a couple billion dollars. Not to mention the brand name is huge.
Yeah.
So, I think it's great. I think I love that he's running. I don't always love his mouth.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I love some of the things he would teach, but I don't know. I have some, you know, there's some other favorites in there that could be good too.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely outside the box. I mean, I think he's outside the world sometimes, and he certainly is a loose cannon. You never know what he's going to say or how he's going to say it and what's going to happen. It's been fascinating, and I couldn't believe it. The other night, they had 24 million people listening to the debate, and I was one of them, and he really knows how to get publicity, doesn't he?
Oh, he's a great marketer. I think that's what – if you're a Republican, you should be happy about that, because most Democrats are known to be better marketers than Republicans are, right? He's great. I mean, that's the part that's great about him. You know, like I said, like, I don't always like how he shoots off his mouth, but I'll tell you, I mean, I think that's more for marketing, getting sound clips and sound bites more than anything, because, I have a friend, Christy Frank, who was on season one of The Apprentice.
Really?
Yeah. She would talk about being on The Apprentice and getting to know Donald. And she's like, he's a really, really loving, nice guy, despite what he puts on as a persona in the public. He's actually a very caring individual. He actually cares a ton about his employees. In fact, he does everything possible to keep them. He runs a very lean ship. Like, he pretty much stays on one floor in his entire building. That's all he occupies, is one floor. And it's even that, I think, a partial floor, too. I don't think it's the entire floor. So it's just a piece of it.
Yeah.
He's a very lean company, and is just a very caring individual, wants to make sure. He doesn't actually like to fire people, interesting enough. He actually likes to keep them on and give them second and third chances. But eventually, they don't shape up. So great negotiator, does great work.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your thoughts about him, because we certainly, everyone's fascinated with this campaign. And I think it's only just begun. And I can't envision him withdrawing at any time soon. So I think we're going to have a very interesting political year ahead for the entire country. Don't you agree?
I agree. If anything, it's going to be entertaining.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It could be it's almost like it could be a television show. It's so fascinating. Now, let's talk a little bit about the shift in the world lately and that you have felt it. You're feeling a huge shift happening. And your advice is it's about the time to act is now. Tell us what that means.
Yeah, you can take that in a lot of different ways. It's interesting to bring up politics because what you've noticed from those kind of debates is mm-hmm. that people really are responding to a different kind of politician, right?
Yeah.
People are responding to candor, like someone who's just willing to say it like it is, very plain English, no political, you know, political ballet dancing going around. It's just like, hey, can I just call bull?
Yeah.
Love it, right? And so there's that change. You know, the world's always evolving and shifting and it goes in cycles. But there's another cycle that's going on right now that affects a lot of people financially, and it's already affected a lot of people financially, mm-hmm. and I believe will continue to do so. So last fall, this is I think it was October of last year, uh-huh. I did an article referred to Y2K15.
Okay.
So obviously we know what Y2K is, you know, with the year 2000. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a weird bust. It didn't really happen, right?
Yeah.
But then there's a Y2K15, which is the next one. And so Y2K, uh-huh. we saw the market dip for 3 years and then came back up for 4 years and then dipped for another two. Now it's gone up 6 years in a row. What do you think will happen in the next few years?
Wow. Yeah, I'm afraid to say it out loud. But it's already happening, isn't it?
We're starting to see signs of it, aren't we? We're starting
to
see that the market wants to go down. And this is bad news for people that are saving for long haul, right? These are bad news for people that are saving for retirement because they are putting their money in the markets. And the last 6 years has spoiled people to death.
Mm-hmm.
I have a client that just came on board where he's had a financial vehicle that a financial advisor sold 6 years ago right at the bottom of the market. Mm-hmm. So he's thinking he's doing great to kind of tell him the hard news saying, well, guess what? This is the best you'll ever see it.
Yeah.
Whatever you've seen is the best it'll ever do. So if you don't like how it's performed, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. And so a lot of my clients, I'm trying to help them to work with my investment advisor to get them into more conservative places or get them out of the market completely and focusing more on putting that money into their business.
Oh, okay. Get out of the market. Yeah, this is it's a scary time with so much happening in the world. And you know, it is interesting, Chris, when I'm looking back on the debate that we watched earlier this week, no one really addressed this economy that I can remember. What do you think?
Yeah, it was a lot of different issues. Half the issues I didn't think even mattered.
Yeah.
You know, they're just more to help people get to know the candidates more, right? But no, you're right. The economy should be a big concern for whoever takes president because they're going to see it. They're going to witness it. You know, people they've seen six up years in a row. And it doesn't mean that I believe that there's, you know, because of the four blood moons in the last year that something's going to change. I think we talked about this last show, right?
Yeah.
Changing the cosmos or, you know, the Jewish cycles, you know, there's the Shemitah and things like that. I mean, those are all great. But if you just look at what the market has done, six up years in a row is not normal. You know, that's not normal at all.
Why do you think that's happened?
Why has it gone up?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, it's gone up. I mean, because, I mean, it is cycles in the markets. I mean, if you think about how we have kind of the Great Recession, you know, mm-hmm. in 2007, 2008, you know, it's natural for the market to dip, and it dipped hard, and mm-hmm. then it started coming back up. It's continued to go back up because there's been a lot of pampering in the marketplace, right?
Mm.
For example, the Feds have kept their interest rates down to almost nothing. So they haven't raised interest rates for years, and they're talking mm-hmm. about doing that this next month in September, mm-hmm. potentially. And there's even news coming out saying, oh, look, jobs are on the rise, that's good. That means that's bad when it comes to the stock market and stuff like that, because mm-hmm. they don't want the interest rates to go up, right? Because mm-hmm. they know when interest rates go up, it costs people more cash flow, therefore killing profits in companies. And that therefore means that the stock will go down. So there's a lot of issues that way, but it's just cycles. I mean, when you have six up years in a row, when I taught stock trading, we didn't want, after 6 days in a row, you wanted to get out of the line. So just like today. Today was actually this last week, there were 6 days in a row it went down. Today it's up. Well, of course. Yeah. Stays down, it's going to go up.
And we're going to take a break because we're going to be up listening to our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some things that we can do, some things that Chris will tell us to do so that we can act now and look ahead. We'll be right back.
Where does all the money go? Surely you should have more to show for all the work you do. And what about the future? Heck, what about next week? Chris Miles to the rescue. Chris is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur with a reputation of getting his clients fast, life-altering results right now, not 25 to 40 years from now. Let Chris Miles show you how to quickly free up and create more cash flow with results you can enjoy today, not tomorrow. Visit MoneyRipples.com. That's MoneyRipples.com. Visit today, not tomorrow. The new book, God Reconsidered, Searching for the Truth in the Battle Between Atheism and Religion by Scott Smith, explains why both militant atheists and believers in traditional religions ignore inconvenient truths. Scott argues in favor of the insights of Gnostic Christianity. Check out www.GodReconsidered.com to read a sample chapter. That's GodReconsidered.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine Zone. We're visiting with Chris Miles. And after working as a traditional financial advisor and stock coach for several years, Chris came to the realization that the financial advising industry was not showing anyone how to quickly and safely become financially prosperous. After leaving that industry, Chris has since worked to teach his effective, unique strategies for companies like Freedom Fast Track and now Money Ripples, while exposing the popular myths around money that have kept so many from enjoying financial freedom and peace of mind. When you're talking about popular myths, let's run through a few of those, Chris.
You bet. You know, so I mentioned a few earlier, so I'll just go with those. For example, okay. there's one called, you know, where you hear people say high risk creates high return. Mm-hmm. And that just, if you think about it, that never works in real life. Taking higher risk in life does not mean you get better results, right? Taking bigger chances does not mean you get better results. You know, if I take higher risk with my health, it doesn't mean I get healthier. And it usually means the opposite, right?
Absolutely.
If I take higher risk with, you know, with my kids, you know, I tell them to go play in the freeway, you know, because they're bugging me. That does not work. So all those kind of things we have to be aware of. So high risk creates high return is not something that has been known to work. I actually encourage people to take lower risks. I actually encourage people to be more like the bank. Because if you look at the banks, they go by five real basic rules. One, they want money as often as possible. Mm-hmm. Two, they want as much of your money as possible. Three, they want it for as long as possible. Four, they want to give it as little back as possible. And then five, they want to take as little risk as possible.
Okay.
And we know that because that's why they'll give you lower interest rates when you get a loan, if you get a shorter term loan, that is. If you get a longer term loan, they raise the interest rates on you because it's higher risk. They don't want high risk. They don't even like to invest their money in stock markets. They invest their money in other people, or they take other people's money, then invest other people's money in the stock market, so their money's at risk, while they take guaranteed fees, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things are going to kind of show that that just doesn't work. You know, so that's another one. You know, another one is I talk about accumulation versus acceleration.
Uh-huh.
Everybody teaches you to accumulate money, to save it forever, right? To accumulate it, let the compound interest work wonders. I saw somebody post a meme recently where they had a picture of Einstein, and it said that compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. Those that earn it, make it. Those that don't pay it, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's interesting. Einstein never said that. I said, the only place I've ever seen that quote work is with financial advisor websites. You know, they misquote Einstein every time. Like, Einstein never said anything close to that, or it was similar, but it had nothing to do with money. It was talking about other aspects of mathematical equations.
Right. Yeah. I never thought of him as a financial advisor in any way.
No, I mean, I remember I watched that movie with Meg Ryan and Walter Matthau where, you know, he was a matchmaker, you know, but, that's it, you know, in the movie IQ, but that's it.
Yeah, that's it. And what are some other myths?
You know, another one that really wore off my world, you know, and I talk about cash flow a lot. That's always a big one.
Sure.
But you know, another one is that you've got to save your way to wealth. You know, it requires money to make money, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It never takes money to make money. I mean, that's the very slow way. That's taught by people that want your money. They'll say it takes money to make money, so give us your money so we can make you money.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, what they're doing is that they're finding ways to add value, to provide value. They're using their minds, and they're getting creative, and they're doing things to solve problems that earns them a much higher return than they ever pay you.
Mm-hmm.
Much higher return. They make way more money than you ever make. So you're getting the table scraps left over while they're actually going and doing something unique. And so when people think it takes money to make money and they think that they've got to, you know, mm-hmm. somehow have this money to save and build, it's going to be a long, slow process. They will be in it for a very long haul. In fact, they might be dead before they get to haul anything away. So
that's most likely.
Yeah. So I encourage people, instead of trying to go, you know, to try to go that route, instead, let's focus on what really creates value for people. How can we create income and cash flow?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just saving your money and then hoping to live off the interest, what about creating wealth? How about creating residual income? You know, how about passive income from real estate investing, if that's something you want to do? Or, you know, mm-hmm. what about, in some cases, what about avoiding losing money, right?
Yeah.
You know, those kind of things would probably be more productive if you actually look at those things of how to keep your money than just how mm-hmm. to lose it. You know, give you an example. I had a dentist named Marty that he was kind of a stubborn guy, very prideful a little bit, but he was at least open enough to get coached a little bit. And mm-hmm. so there's a point where he kind of said, well, I'm not learning anything, Chris. And I said, well, you know what? You're an amazing businessman, but you're a horrible investor.
Oh.
And I said, I can guarantee that you would actually have a lot more money if you just focus more on keeping it than just making it. Because he would try to gamble it away in stock markets and other creative ventures that didn't always pan out. So I taught him how to actually keep that money in a place where it can make money, or at least not lose any money, make a little bit, but not a ton. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, then focus on the places he can control, like his business and things like that. Mm-hmm. A year later, he calls me up. He says, Chris, I don't know how you did it, but even though I'm only paying myself $130,000 a year, my net worth went up by $100,000 last year. And that doesn't count the inheritance he received from his mom. He's like, I didn't even count that in there because you had nothing to do with that. My mom died. Uh-huh. I didn't have anything to do with that, you know, but that was big for him because he said, wow, I actually, my net worth really went up. I said, that's the point. If you focus more on keeping it and then making more money on top, you'll make so much more money.
Now, when you're telling people to act now, are you saying they should get out of the stock market?
You know, I can never tell people to do that because I dropped those licenses a decade ago to say whether or not they should be in. Plus, I don't know their individual situation.
Mm-hmm.
But what I am saying is you better be really careful and be watching what's going on. If you're the type of person that doesn't like to watch the stock market, you might consider going to a more conservative place, because by the time you check your 401k or your IRA or whatever retirement plan you have, you might be shocked to realize that it went down and tanked without you knowing it.
Oh, wow.
You know, in the last week or so, when we already saw the market go down a few percent, if you have $100,000, you already lost into the thousands, and you probably didn't even know it.
Yeah.
So at what point? And don't get emotional. So many people get emotional all the time about the market. Once they see it go down, they say, ooh, well, maybe it'll go back up. I'll stay in. So they stay in. It continues to go down. Then they say, well, at this point, I don't want to lose this money, so I'll wait for it to come back up before I get out.
Yeah.
And then it continues to go down more. And then, it does eventually come back up. This describes pretty much 2000 to 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Many people in retirement plans barely got their money back by 2013 to 2015. They broke even.
Yeah. Wow. So many people.
Because, you know, they had fees and things like that. They might have said they made money, but in reality, they actually got a fee. Yeah. So it's a big problem. So we got to make sure that people are really proactive. So if you're not going to be proactive, you might consider getting out.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, Chris, I would like to have you share your website information and share with our listeners how they can contact you. And then we're going to talk about three easy ways to hit your financial goals before the end of 2015. We'll be right back with Chris Miles.
Any moment we can be painfully reminded that none of us is immune from loss. Perhaps the worst nightmare of any parent is the loss of a child. When this happens to someone else, most parents quietly wonder how they could ever deal with such an inversion of the natural order. When author Donna Mebbin lost her youngest daughter, Emma, she initially wanted to give up and join her beautiful, spirited 19-year-old. But she didn't. Instead, she wrote the multi-award-winning novel, Tomorrow Comes, an amazing book in which Donna chronicles the way her family lives forward and imagines the way Emma does too, in a magical land called After. Tomorrow Comes is available on Amazon and other online booksellers. The moment after you serve your customer, what will they tell the world? Social media has us so connected that a single voice has unprecedented power to benefit and to harm. What do your customers say? Do you know? Do you respond? What do you say? For years, Steve Holtquist has been helping businesses use the internet to be more productive and successful. Now he's showing businesses how to go back to the future, fostering and empowering relationships. Learn how to work in this new world. Find Steve at InfiniteSummit.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems. People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
I'm pleased to announce that Priceless Personalities is also available at audiblebooks.com. We are visiting with one of my very favorite co-hosts, who is in fact a priceless personality himself, Chris Miles. And Chris, would you share with our listeners your website information and tell them how they can get your books?
You bet. So my website is www.moneyripples.com. That's MoneyRipples.com. And there's a great ebook on there called Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today that they can download for free.
Okay.
So great stuff on there, great blogs. I got my own podcast and everything else that you have as well.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Now let's talk a little bit about, now that you've shared your wonderful information, three easy ways that you have shared on your blog to help people hit their financial goals before the end of 2015. Could you go through that a little bit?
You bet. Yeah, so the first one, and this one is the most important, is that you got to have some sort of objective. You got to have a vision or a goal of what you want. Because I get so many people that they'll say, I want more money. Great, what does that look like? So what? And there's not really anything specific, right? And I know there's a quote to Mark Twain attributed to him where he says, I can get people anything they want out of life. I just can't find anybody who knows what they want. And so that's got to be the key. So you got to know what you want. And so when you're looking at objectives for the year, you know, you have to ask yourself, you know, is it even realistic at this point? So maybe you said something at the beginning. If you're one of the few that did it at the beginning of the year, you might have said, okay, like I want to make maybe say, you know, $200,000 this year. Say that's your goal, right? But so far this year, you've only made 40. So if you've only made $40,000 and you've only got, you know, 4.5 months left, you might consider changing that goal a little bit. You might say, well, maybe that's a little bit stretched, but what if I could hit 85,000? Like that would still be a stretch. It would still be a fast pace, but it can be more realistic. So if you've got to adjust goals from your beginning of the year, feel free to do it. If it's still within reach, if you think it's a stretch, but you could still reach it, well, then keep it the same. Keep that the way it is. But you got to know what you want first before you just try to go and blindly follow in something. The second thing. Go ahead.
Okay. You create a vision, and you're asking people to be very specific with this vision, aren't you?
Very. Yeah, it's got to be very specific. You got to know exactly what it is.
Give me some examples of some things your clients have visions about.
Yeah, so I've had clients where they said they want to pay off like maybe $20,000 in loans this year, right?
Okay.
They say, yeah, we want to pay down our loans. We want to pay off $20,000. Sometimes I'll question them on it because I'll ask, well, why do you want to do that? And what it will come down to, it might actually not be the $20,000 they want to pay off, but they want to free up the cash flow from it. So then I'll ask them, well, how much money per month would you like to free up? Oh, I'd love to free up $500 a month. Oh, cool. Well, what if we could do that with only $15,000?
Yeah.
You know, or $10,000 even, right? Does it have to be that number? So it be very specific, but be open to the how-to, because you might say, well, this is what I really – know what you really want is the key here, because you might say, I think this is what I want because this is how I have to get it. But the how-to, you have to sometimes keep open. You have to keep it flexible because you might find a better solution than what you're currently planning on.
Or your financial advisor might have a better solution possibly. And that's what that's why you hire one, isn't it?
Yep, that's why you hire Chris Miles.
Yes, I was leading up to that. Okay, we've got our vision. And now what do we do for the second thing?
Then the second thing is, you got to also look back and see what has happened. So specifically with financial goals, I want people to really have a good spending plan, right? Not a budget, but a spending plan.
So
look back to the beginning of the year. So if this is August, for example, go back to the last 7 months or so, the last seven full months, and find out what have you actually spent on average in these different areas, whether it be, you know, utilities, food, bills, you know, like other bills, like, you know, house payments or whatever it might be, like go back during those 7 or 8 months and find out what the average per month is and see if there's ways you can improve upon that. I call it a 7% challenge. Can you go, can you look at every category and find a way to reduce it by 7%?
Wow.
So if the bill averages $100 a month, can you get it down to 93? Can you take off $7?
That's
it. If it's $1,000 a month, can you take off 70? And if you think about it, 7% is not a ton, but if you're spending $5,000 a month, you know, 7% is still $350 a month. That's over $4,000 a year you could have back in your life again. Don't take that lightly. So
now, I'm looking at your blog and you recommend that they can get a free account at mint.com and set up your personal accounts, track business expenses, use QuickBooks or Quicken. And once you connect your accounts, it would be very easy to keep track of them then, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like if you're in business, QuickBooks is great. Like online, $13 a month, give or take, mm-hmm. depending on what kind of services you want. And mm-hmm. Mint.com is great because it is free. And again, it doesn't require you to be a math expert. It figures it all out for you. You just got to make sure you categorize it correctly. And even when you do, the great news is that it usually guesses what category it thinks it is. So if you've categorized it before, it'll remember that and say, oh, you went to Kroger's Grocery Mart or whatever. Guess mm-hmm. what? That's groceries. So they automatically will just make that groceries. You don't have to do any math. It just does it for you.
Oh, wonderful.
And that's an amazing thing. And that really leads into that last bit, which is mm-hmm. once you've tracked that money or you've been able to see what you've done in the past and try to make some adjustments, mm-hmm. then keep up on it. Be proactive with it. Don't wait till the end of the year. Every single week, track your money. Go and make sure that those numbers are updated and make sure you're looking at that spending plan, or that budget that you have or whatever. You know, make sure you're watching for trends to see what's happening. And Mint.com can let you do all of those things. So you can actually be proactive and say, ooh, something's happening here. Maybe we should make mm-hmm. an adjustment now versus saying, oh, wow, I wish we would have done that 7 or 8 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so true. I mean, 3 to 5 minutes is not a long time.
It's not. It takes very little time. I wish I could get rock hard abs in 3 to 5 minutes a week. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know what I love most about this visit is that you're telling us we're not using the word budget, because budget gives me a negative feeling.
It does. It's got a negative connotation to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and, it does. You call this a spending program, or what do you call it?
Spending plan, yeah.
Spending plan. I love that.
Yeah. Money is meant to be spent. Every dollar should have a job. Even if you put it into savings, you're still spending the money to put it into savings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so spending is a great thing. It's even better when it produces good results, right? Now, granted, if you blow it, that's not always good.
Yeah. Well, this is music to my ears to know that spending is a positive thing and that I can plan and do it and not have to worry about waiting till the end of the year for the bad news. And it usually is bad news, isn't it?
Well, when you ignore your money, just like everything in life, whatever you ignore will leave you. Mm-hmm. So if you ignore your money, it's going to leave you too. And so why not stay up with it? Like don't just watch the expenses. Watch also the income coming in. How much money are you making and earning? That's a mm-hmm. very important thing to focus on as well that many people will ignore.
Yeah, yeah. I think that is across the board. You know, we're not going to ignore our sponsors, and we're going to hear from them right now. And then we come back with Chris. We're going to talk a little bit about getting people to talk about you behind your back. This ought to be interesting, and this will be in a good way, won't it, Chris?
Absolutely.
Terrific. We'll be right back.
January's co-host, Connie Cockrell, the author of Mystery at the Fair, has been writing since 2011 after a challenge from her daughter. An eclectic writer, she's written mysteries, sci-fi, fantasy, and even a thriller. She has been included in 4 different anthologies and published on the e-zine Everyday Fiction. Connie continues to write and entertain with whatever comes into her head. You can find her books on most ebook retail sites. Paperback editions are also available. Be sure to visit her at www.conniesrandomthoughts.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter at Connie Cockrell. January is thrilled to be welcoming Dr. Nancy Irwin, who will be co-hosting on iHeartRadio with January Jones. As a doctor of psychology, clinical hypnotist, and author of U-Turn, Changing Direction in Midlife, Dr. Nancy is an agent for change. Many people believe that change can be scary, but she believes it can actually be creative and fun. She does know a thing or two about change, because at age 44, she transitioned from a stand-up comedian to shrink. Oh, believe her, the road from comedy to mental health is very short indeed. Most fears are learned, and the good news is whatever we learned, we can unlearn. Smoking, overeating, fear of public speaking, test anxiety, what have you. On our show, we'll be discussing how you can dissolve that negative programming and free your inner winner. Change is inevitable. You can either affect it or accept it. Visit her site, drnancyirwin.com. What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play, and well-being. Provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back. We're visiting with our cash flow expert, Chris Miles, who consistently practices and teaches small business owners how to do what no other financial advisors can or will tell them. He will teach you how to achieve financial prosperity now and in the future, spending time doing what you love most. Chris, what do you love most doing in the world?
You know, I've always loved teaching. You know, that's kind of what got me out of retirement to do what I'm doing today. Because people would naturally want to ask me questions. And I would jump on I would just love to teach them and try to help them see stuff. And I love watching people get results. I love seeing people's lives get better and transformed before their eyes. Like right. I just love that amazing sense of gratitude where it's a huge, it really, that's like my name, Money Ripples. I mean, it creates that ripple effect in their life that it blesses them. It blesses their kids and their family and generations beyond them. It blesses, I mean, the people around them, the communities and everywhere else. Like everybody is blessed as people prosper more. And so to be able to have that ability to serve people and use my gifts and talents in a way that helps them and allows them to prosper too. Oh, I mean, that's what makes it all worthwhile.
Oh, I can tell you have that enthusiasm. It's your passion. I would like to share with our listeners a quote that someone spoke about you, and it is, if you, your company, or organization are able to secure Chris as a speaker, I would highly recommend that you do anything and everything you can to jump all over that opportunity. I can promise you that you will be so grateful that you hired Chris to speak or consult with your organization and your employees. When you see the way that Chris is able to change false mindsets, enlighten closed minds, and inspire new desires and change. This is probably just a wonderful testimonial, and this is from one of your clients. I bet you hear these things all the time, don't you?
Oh, I'd love to hear it more, though. No, I appreciate those kind of that kind of feedback. You know, it's funny because I had somebody come to me just the other day say, you know, I've been listening to your podcast lately, and it's been such an inspiring to me. And I thought, really? I would never imagine you would even listen to things like my stuff. And you know, that was just in the grocery store the other day. You know, when that happened. So I love that. Like, I love to know that I'm helping people. You know, even when I don't know it.
Yeah. Well, I have that same experience. I can't figure out who all these listeners are for this show. You know, I really don't have that much family or friends to get the numbers that I'm getting. So I think we both are in a situation where we can just sit back and enjoy it. Now, before we close out, do you have any closing advice for our listeners, or could you share any regrets you have?
Yeah, all kinds, you know. You know, I guess like, you know, when you hear this kind of feedback, you talked about getting people to talk about you behind your back. You know, I think if we were to do that, like to say it and sum it up in the best way possible, is that when you show up to serve, when you show up in a way that most people don't, most people just want to get whatever they can get. They want to get their own, you know, they want to make money. They want to increase their business. They want to get people to do business with them. If you focus instead of trying to get business for people, instead of focusing on serving them, helping them, solving problems for them, and create a reputation that way, and even just say, you know what, I'm not even here about the business. Let me get to know about you. Tell me more about you and how I can serve you. And that has been my secret to success, kind of my secret sauce, to get into with some great and amazing people, just like yourself, January, and many, many more people as well. And that when you show up to serve, when you show up to really give value, people want that in their lives, and they're willing to support you and be a cheerleader for you.
Oh, that is so well said. And that is so true, because once you're working at your passion, I find that, and if your passion serves, success always follows in most cases, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it's just like we hear all the time: the more you give, the more you receive. But especially when you give from the right, you know, the right intention, right? It's not just giving so that you do receive, but you sincerely want to help people and give, and just know that one way or the other, somehow everything will work out in your favor when you do that. You prosper as you help others do the same. It just always comes back to you, whether it comes from those same people or from unknown, unseen places that you never expected before.
Right. And, you know, this is so much fun with you, Chris, because you have just, without knowing it, served me by serving up the title for our show that I'm going to call this. And I'm going to use Serve Secret Sauce.
I like that. It's a good alliteration.
Yes. Oh, of course, I have an addiction to alliteration. It's a disease. But
it's a despicable disease.
Despicable, yeah. Serve Secret Sauce. Okay, that'll be the title for the show. And thank you again for visiting with us. You are wonderful, and we'd love to have you back in the future.
Oh, thank you so much.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Chris. Isn't he fun? And he is so outside the box. I love talking to him. My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Chris. I would like to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. When you can, sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. If you would like to be a guest or advertise, just go to info@januaryjones.com. We really love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secret sauce for success. Remember my mantra: if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate, and follow it up with secret sauce. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Chris Miles. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sorantos.
This is Sorantos, and you're listening to January Jones. This is Sorantos. I hope you enjoyed January Jones' latest episode.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra: if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.